Okay.
Hi.
Hi. welcome. What are seven?
Seven.
Welcome to episode seven.
That's like all the Harry Potter movies, I think.
Yeah.
Seven books, eight movies.
Are there any movies?
I think there was a part one and part two of the last one.
Somebody invited me to a Harry Potter trivia, and I was like, I would suck ass at this. I don't know shit about Harry Potter. Why would you?
I've never read the books, but I like the movies.
I've, like, seen all the movies multiple times, but I couldn't do trivia.
Yeah, no, I would suck at that.
What's your house? Do you know?
No.
I'm a Ravenclaw.
Yeah, I was kind of getting that vibe from you.
Oh my god, it's Virgo season.
It is Virgo season. It's almost me and Raina's birthdays. So we're doing a little birthday bash thing together.
Yeah. On Friday.
So that should be really fun. We'll be really shit-faced.
I'm not going to get crazy shit-faced because I have to work the next day.
Yeah, we'll be...
moderately shit-faced.
We'll be shit-faced for a 26 and 25-year-old.
Yeah. Literally.
High, and my cats are also high on catnip.
Clarify.
Not real drugs.
No. Not for them. Yeah, I've had a crazy day. I got my car stuck in Sabrina's lawn when I got here.
Yeah, Raina just decided to completely bypass the driveway and park on the grass.
I didn't know Sabrina had parked and to leave enough space for me. I didn't even think to look. I just saw where her car was and figured, okay, I'll go next to it.
So we had to push Raina's car out of a ditch.
Yeah, pretty much. So, and I was sober when I got here.
That's just the kind of day it's been.
Yeah. Okay, well, let's see. I don't think I have any show news or anything like that. We're almost at 200 listens.
That's so exciting.
It's so fun. For our birthdays, it would be really cool if we could get to 300.
Oh, yeah.
Or even just 200, actually, because our birthdays are close. Never mind. If you could get us to 200 for our birthday, that would be, like, the best birthday gift. That would be really cool.
It would be really cool.
Mine is the 15th.
And mine is the 9th.
I was told before we started recording that somebody told Sabrina that they want more ghost stories. So you're in luck, kind of. Today it is. I don't know if I just have really bad luck picking ghost stories, because in my last podcast I didn't cover the paranormal stuff. Really freaks me out, so I'm facing a fear here for y'all.
I'm so proud of you.
So
that's so slay of you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
So I'm changing it up. I'm going outside of my comfort zone. So maybe I'm just not picking the best stories, but it has been very hard to find any evidence of, or not necessarily even evidence, just like stories that people experienced at these places that I keep looking up. So maybe I'm just really bad at picking them. I think maybe that's the problem, but.
Maybe the ghosts are just hiding from you because you're so powerful. That would be my guess, actually.
That would be really cool, but I really... kind of doubt it. So today I am gonna cover the old Idaho State Penitentiary.
Ooh, I love a good penitentiary. So how do you say that?
Penitentiary. Yeah.
Okay.
I don't like the way it's spelled, and all of my notes I abbreviated it to pen. So for some reason it just like really, I'm dyslexic, so it just like really boggles my mind. I really hate that word, like seeing it written. I actually used to live in the same place that this is at, but I obviously didn't know anything about it because I was tiny. I wasn't tiny. I was like 7 or something. But This is in Boise, Idaho, and I used to live in Boise, Idaho.
I forgot that you dropped that little tidbit on us in a previous episode, but now it's coming full circle.
Yeah, I did. I used to live in Idaho. It was gorgeous from what I remember, but I think we were only there for like 8 months or something like that. Anyway, I got this story. So I picked the story because I was like, oh my God, I used to live there. I want to do that. So I did that, but I got this story because I decided one day that I didn't know what to watch and I was just scrolling through and Ghost Adventures came on my feed and I was like, fuck it. You know, I want to do more ghost stories. Maybe I'll get some inspiration from this.
Look at you facing your fears.
I mean, I love watching. Like, Zach Bagans is fucking hilarious. He's such an idiot. I love him. no hate, all love. He's a gift. But I was watching it, and what really pulled me in is before they really get to the meat of the episode, Zach Bagans, in all his Gene glory, Gene spiked hair, tight black t-shirt, big muscle glory.
Sexy.
There was a flat rock that people used to go and watch the executions.
Whoa.
And I'll get into that in a second. But he decided to go and go up to the flat rock to see it from that view. And he starts freaking out because there's snakes. And it is so fucking hilarious. I have a clip of it for you. It is so fucking hilarious. So I'll show that to you, but if you have HBO or if you want to like buy an episode on YouTube, you might even be able to just find this part on YouTube somewhere in like a compilation or something. It is season 1, episode 8. They go to the Idaho State Penitentiary to investigate it. And not too far into the episode, I want to say maybe like 10 minutes in, maybe 20, no, 15-ish, maybe like 10 minutes. Yeah. So like 10 minutes into it is where it's at. It's fucking hilarious. But I'm going to show it to you.
Also, have you seen that episode where Post Malone is with him?
No.
What? It apparently like really spooked him.
Okay. So here is... It wasn't. It's not.
Because you're picking it up by the tail. What do you mean? That is not how you pick up a snake. You should be. That's so funny. Oh my God.
And it's like 3 minutes.
And
it's
his, like, just like run sidestep is so funny.
It was hilarious. That's what really sucked me into the episode. I was like, okay, you got me, Zach. I'm in. So
you son of a bitch, I'm in.
So I decided from then on that was gonna be my story this week.
Fantastic. So
this prison was functional from 1872 to 1973.
Ooh, 101 years.
Yeah, it was an active functional prison for 101 years. The penitentiary received more than 13,000 inmates in the total time that it was open, with a maximum population of a little over 600 for like each cell block, and they didn't care about that. So one of the most notorious inmates confined to the halls of the Idaho State Penitentiary was Raymond Allen Snowden, a man who was called Idaho's Jack the Ripper.
Whoa, never heard of him.
I will cover him another time because his story is crazy. Cool. I go a little bit into it, or his like death at least. But so Snowden was convicted of murder in 1956 and sentenced to death by hanging at Idaho State Penitentiary. There were only 11 executions in total in Idaho's history, and 10 of them were carried out at the penitentiary.
Dang.
Yeah. So Snowden murdered Cora Dean a local woman and mother of two during a scuffle after a night of drinking. So Snowden claimed he backhanded Dean. She kicked him and then he like snapped. So he used a 2 1/4 inch pocket knife and he stabbed her 35 times.
Jesus.
Yeah. So before his before his hanging, Snowden confessed to murdering two other women. At 12:05 a.m. on October 18th, 1957, Ray Snowden was brought to the gallows. Snowden would never get the chance for last words. And at 12:06 a.m., the trapdoor was pulled, but the noose failed to break his neck.
Whoa, that's brutal.
Yeah, so he struggled at the end of the rope for 15 minutes before finally suffocating.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And another person among some of those infamous inmates, only 216 of them were women out of the total time that it was open. One woman in particular was Lyda Ann May Trueblood, a.k.a. Idaho's Lady Bluebeard.
Ooh, yeah. Is she a pirate?
No. I guess that's also what they called the lady you covered a few episodes ago. The one who killed all the men.
Yeah.
So they dubbed her that because she, I guess, basically did the same thing. She's an American female suspected serial killer. It was suspected that she had killed 4 of her husbands, good a brother-in-law, and her daughter by using arsenic poisoning. Following a 6-week trial, she was convicted of second-degree murder and sentenced to 10 years to life in the old Idaho State Penitentiary. She escaped from prison on May 4th, 1931, and took up residence in Denver, Colorado, as one does.
How did she manage to do that?
I mean, it was, you know, the 1930s.
Yeah, that's, you know, fair.
It probably wasn't crazy hard to break out of a prison.
She had, like, a cartoon grapple hook.
Well, when the penitentiary finally closed down, and they claimed it as, like, a national or state historic landmark or whatever, they found like a bunch of weapons inside the prison.
So
I'm sure that she had something to dig her way out of there. But she went to Denver, Colorado as a housekeeper for Harry Whitlock, who she married in March of 1932. But he ultimately assisted in her arrest in Topeka, Kansas on July 31st, 1932. And she returned to the penitentiary in August of 1932. She was released on probation in October of 1941 and received a final pardon. So originally this prison was a single cell house. So really only like one building with some cells in it. But eventually it grew to a complex of several distinctive buildings surrounded by a 17-foot high sandstone wall, which was forged and built by the inmates themselves. So wow. They basically built their prison.
That sucks.
Yeah. So over time, inmates built up the complex, and the new cell house, which opened from 1889 to 1890, or 19, yeah, 1890, or I think it took that long to build, sorry, consisted of 3 tiers of 42 steel cells. The third tier, closest to the Rose Garden, served as death row. I mean, I guess at least they got to look at the Rose Garden.
Yeah, what a relief.
So the area now known as the Rose Garden was once used to execute prisoners by hanging. A bunch of them happened there. So solitary confinement consisted of 2 sections. The first, built in the early 1920s, was the cooler building of the two, and not like in style, but like temperature wise. So although it was built for solitary confinement, each cell contained 4 to 6 men. And the second section, known as Siberia, was built in 1926 and housed 12 3x8-foot cells.
That's really small.
Yeah. So with 1 inmate per cell, and the inmates suffered through a lot of like inhumane conditions. The sandstone that formed its walls was a plentiful and inexpensive building material, but it also intensified the temperatures inside the cells.
That's so, like, torturous.
Yeah, in the summer it was basically an oven, and in the winter it was like an icebox.
Oh God.
Yeah. So proper plumbing didn't reach the prisons until the 1920s. So they had like buckets basically to use the bathroom.
That's foul.
It also spread disease, obviously. And this was complicated by the prison's ill-working ventilation system. Conditions like these pushed inmates to the edge, and guards answered violence with more violence until 1971, when prisoners reached a breaking point. And in 1971 and again in 1973, riots broke out. And when I was doing research, I had a really hard time, like, getting details about the riots. A lot of this information, apparently, you can't really get unless you, like, take a tour.
What?
Yeah. So, because I, like, couldn't find it anywhere. So.
They're hogging the information.
Yeah, they're gatekeeping the ghosts.
Whoa.
They died in prison. Like.
Share the ghosts.
Yeah.
That's so rude.
So, in 2019, they actually decided to explain what happened at the prison during the tour. So, they didn't really, like, share the information about the riots until then. And they decided in early 2019 that their new exhibit within the basically museum of what it is now explained, like, some of the riot stuff. And they chose to actually really highlight the social injustice that ensued back then and even today in the justice system. So, speaking about the rates to which POC people are incarcerated in comparison to white folk. But I also found a digitalized article, because I couldn't find anything that showed me what the fuck the exhibit looked like or any of the information that is included in the exhibit. But I did find an article archive from a news article written and published on the New York Times site that gives some details on the riots.
Ooh, do tell.
So the publication was in 1996, which isn't when the riots happened. So I'm a little confused on that, but I'm just going to read what I found. So it says, Idaho, August 10th. Inmates of the Idaho State Penitentiary rioted tonight, setting fires that destroyed two buildings in the ancient prison complex. At least two prisoners were stabbed and taken to a hospital. The number of inmates involved in the riot was not known immediately. The riot apparently was the result of the discovery of an escape tunnel, prison officials said. One building destroyed housed the social service center, and the other a recreation area. The prisoners began tearing up the recreation center. Officials added the guards fired tear gas into a group of prisoners. So the riot, the 1973 riots, were apparently the worst of the two. That was the end of the article. But the 1973 riots were apparently the worst of the two. But like I said, I couldn't find, like, literally anything out of, like, the 30 something articles that I looked at that That's told me crazy. What happened in the riots.
Also, I wonder if that was that girl's tunnel.
Maybe. I'm sure she took advantage of it. Who wouldn't? You know?
Yeah.
I wonder how many other prisoners escaped.
Also, maybe 1996 is the year they digitized that article.
Oh, maybe, yeah.
Like, put it from
physical
newspaper to internet.
Yeah.
Because internet was new. Or like a computer
file or something. Yeah. That would make sense. That would make a lot more sense.
That's my guess, though.
The 416 resident inmates were moved to the new Idaho State Correctional Institution south of Boise. The old Idaho Penitentiary was closed on December 3rd of 1973. And like I said, Idaho now has it as a historic landmark. It's part of the Historic Landmark Society. And, of course, they do tours and shit because tourism money, you know.
Well, that's on our list, too, then.
Yeah. I would love to go back to Idaho. I don't know what it's like now. I was really little when I was there, but. So, obviously, the penitentiary was full of a lot of anger and anguish and pain. One inmate brutally died during, like, a gang rape situation.
Holy shit.
Yeah. So, there was a lot contained within the walls of that penitentiary.
Yeah, there's a lot of pain there.
Yeah, it would be no surprise to anyone if it was bound to have a ghost here or there.
Just one or two.
So a lot of people on tour say they experience disembodied voices, they feel themselves being touched, and people have reported just an overall strange and uncomfortable feeling there. There was a news reporter from Idaho who went to the penitentiary with, like, a group of ghost investigators or paranormal investigators. And at one point, they were looking at something, and all of a sudden he felt like two hands were like pushing on his head, and he was like, guys, my head is like fucking killing me right now. Like, he said he just felt this unbelievable pressure. So, some crazy stuff.
That's scary. Also, like, if I was touring a prison and I could like feel gross dead men hands on my body, I would throw up.
Yeah, I would have a panic attack.
Yeah. Get your filthy paws off my silky drawers.
Literally. Get them off of me. So it said that House 5 has the most reported activity. It's thought to believe that Snowden, who I mentioned earlier, who died by hanging, still haunts that very house. And I took to Reddit, as I usually do, because, like I said, either I'm doing this all wrong or I'm just, like, really unlucky with this.
What did the Redditors have to say?
Like, not really anything, dude. What? Yeah, I couldn't find a single thread that had, like, instances that people could recount from like visiting the place or investigators that went there. I'm sure I could have watched like a bunch of YouTube videos, but I'm sorry, y'all. I'm not gonna do that. I'm not gonna do that. Redditors do
better.
Really? Yeah. Like, somebody just transcribe a YouTube video for me. I would much rather read it than
watching long videos.
I can sometimes, but like with stuff like this where I have to write it down, it's so much easier for me to be able to read it.
Mm-hmm.
So. Somebody help. So it seems the only way to really get info on what paranormal instances happen, like I said, is to pay for a tour, which is fucking annoying. But I did find one super creepy thing on Reddit.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. Someone got an SLS camera shot of three figures dancing in a cell, and an SLS camera is structured light sensor camera system, which is the same things used to sense your movement when you're like playing Just Dance and stuff like that. Like, whoa. It's the same thing used in the PlayStation Kinect. And it, like, tracks body movement. Let me find which fucking tab it's on. Oh, there it is. It's a really fucking bad quality, but... because it's, like, somebody recording a recording.
Hmm. Why are they being so funky? What do they have to dance about? They're in prison.
So I have another video of Zach inside cell 5. And I didn't really record anything else because they did some, like, EVP stuff. And I personally didn't really hear anything when I listened to the EVP stuff in that instance. And some other stuff, I definitely hear super clear voices. But this one didn't really sound like anything most of the time, so I just didn't even include any of it. But this one was pretty interesting. So this is Zach in cell block 5, where Snowden was held. And you see, like, a figure behind him. And it's pretty creepy.
Spooky. That was spooky.
Mm-hmm. So if you saw at the end of that, he was like dragging a rope as he was like getting up or whatever. He ended up taking that rope and putting it in the gallows with a full noose on it and tried to antagonize Snowden. And later he admitted to it. He was like looking over the film with somebody else. And he was talking about it. He was like, I was antagonizing him. And I'm like, why the fuck? Why would you do that? Leave him alone. Already dead.
Why are men like that?
Zach Bagans is also just a different breed of man, honestly. Yeah. So.
Yeah, that's fair.
But the rest of it was Aaron being stuck in the same shower area that the person that I said earlier was gang raped to death. And he felt some, like, you know, touching and stuff. And he said some really crazy shit, too. They say the craziest fucking stuff on that show to these poor restless souls.
Yeah, I feel like that's, like, not in your best interest.
Yeah, just, yeah.
I think we could all get a lot farther just being nice.
Yeah.
To each other and to ghosts.
Yeah, there's I don't remember which episode it is, but there's one episode where he goes to a house and he holds up something to his wrist. He's like, yeah, haha, I'm slitting my wrist just like you did. And like, he came back to the house again later and was like, I said something a little out of line last time I was here.
That was out of pocket.
And he was like, I want to apologize. But yeah, that was all I could find on the Idaho State Penitentiary without going to Idaho myself and paying for a fucking tour.
Well, I would love to go and pay for a fucking tour with you sometime.
I would also love that. We could add it to our list for sure.
Okay, yay.
That was my story.
That was thrilling. It had my heart pounding.
Thank you.
I don't know what you mean when you said you didn't have a good ghost story. 'Cause that was such a good ghost story. I saw videos.
You did. You did.
I mean, I saw pictures. Yep. I saw little men dancing. I'm convinced.
Good. I'm glad. I'm so glad.
Well, should we take us a wee little smoke break?
Of course, my lady. May I please have a little bit more?
A little bit of weed for the little street urchin.
I'm just a poor boy. Can you spare a nug, please? Okay, we'll be back. I'm like exclusively joint and bong.
I was a bowl person when I only smoked one bowl.
Oh no, I was a bowl person when I had my medical. Ugh. Yeah, I was smoking a lot. So, I don't know, I guess it was just like a little more convenient.
Yeah, I'm also joint, bong, edible. Dab underneath that.
Dab for me is number one. I fucking love
I hate dabs. Them.
I love them.
When I was in high school, I had this boyfriend, and he stayed at my place. He was from out of town. He stayed at my place for... Whoa,
boyfriend from out of town in high school?
I know, right?
Crazy.
For New Year's. And I lived down the street from these, like, drug dealers Sick. Who were having a party. Yeah, that also went to school with me. So we went over to their place, and they were like, have you ever taken a dab before? And he was like, no. And they were like, okay, cool. We're going to give you a dab then. So he took it and got massively high. And as we're walking back to my house, he goes, you know, it must be sad to be a year because you die on your birthday. And I was like, oh, dear God.
Wait, what?
Well, are you sitting comfortably? Are you ready for this story?
I am. Yes, you told me. You gave me a hint.
Yes.
You told me solved case.
Correct.
Yes.
And this one, I was just, like, trying to figure out what to do. And I asked my friend if she had any suggestions. And she's from West Virginia. And she says, well, you know, there was this one murder in West Virginia. I think her name was blah, blah, blah. And I was like, ooh, okay, let me check that out. And mm-hmm. I was like, whoa, this is a story. I'm going to talk about this. So today, I'm going to talk about the murder of Skylar Neese.
Skylar Neese.
Mm-hmm. So.
Oh, we didn't say we're back.
Oh, we're back.
We're back.
You were just supposed to assume that.
Yeah.
So, Skylar. So, okay. Let me set the scene. The year is 2012.
2012. Oh, no.
Yep. We were party rocking.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
TikToking.
Yeah. Absolutely. We were seen.
Mm-hmm.
We had the front swooshy hair.
I was seen.
I was seen, too.
We'll post pictures.
I should post a picture of me and my first boyfriend doing like the rawr faces. And
oh,
claws.
I have one. I have one of me like.
Yeah, and we poorly edited it to
yeah,
say
same. Yeah.
Rawr, that means I love you and dinosaur.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
What a time to be alive.
Yeah.
Anyways. So, Skylar was a 16-year-old. She lived in Star City, West Virginia, which is kind of close to, like, the border with Pennsylvania, so, mm-hmm. like, the northern part of the state. She was an only child, and her parents were really, like, attentive and nurturing, and she did well in school.
Okay.
Yeah. She had this friend. Her name was Shelia Eddy. I think it said Shelia. I kept wanting to read Sheila, but I think it is Shelia.
Okay.
Okay. Sheila Eddie, they became friends when they were 8 years old and just kind of grew up together. And then when they were freshmen in high school, Shayla became friends with a girl. See, I did it again. Sheila became friends with a girl named Rachel Schoaf.
Rachel Schoaf.
Mm-hmm. The three of them went to university high school together. So of this trio, you know, everybody has their, like, assigned roles.
Of course.
Skylar is, like, the rock of the group. Like, she's very stable. She's very solid. She's, like, the shoulder to cry on.
Virgo. Okay.
Yeah. The house for everyone to, like, come to when they're upset.
Yeah.
Sheila, on the other hand, was the wild child. She was, like, always getting into trouble. She had, like, a single mom. So she kind of was just, like, by herself a lot. Mm-hmm. And then Rachel was really timid, and she came from a very strict Catholic household.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting group.
Yeah. So by their sophomore year in 2012, Sheila and Rachel started getting a lot closer to each other and kind of pushing Skylar out.
Uh-oh.
And she took to Twitter to hash out some of these beefs.
Okay.
She tweeted things like calling her friend two-faced and accusing them of excluding her. And then on July 7th, 2012, Skylar's parents became worried when she didn't show up for work and she didn't come home, which was very unlike her.
Mm-hmm.
There wasn't anything missing from her room, like phone charger, glasses, like important things that she would need if she were going to run away somewhere.
Yeah.
So they reported her missing. Mm-hmm. And then Sheila and her mother came over and told the nieces that the night before, her and Rachel had picked Skylar up at around 11 p.m. to ride around town smoking weed. Ooh. But that they had dropped her off at the end of the road right before midnight and they hadn't seen her since. They said
why would you drop her off at the end of the road?
So that the car didn't wake up her parents.
Oh.
Yeah. Sheila and her mom helped in the search for Skylar for like the first couple days. But Rachel was like the next day went to this Catholic summer camp for 2 weeks.
Oh.
So convenient. She was, like, gone this whole time.
Yeah.
So police were really suspicious of the girls, and they looked at surveillance footage from Skylar's apartment complex, and they already kind of, like, uncovered one lie when they saw her getting into a car at 12:30 a.m., and then the car did not return.
Hmm.
So already, like, the timing's off, because they said they dropped her off before midnight. They don't show her even leaving until 12:30.
Yeah.
But officially, she was kind of presumed to be a runaway. She tweeted the day before her disappearance, sick of being at home, or I'm sorry, sick of being at fucking home. Thanks, friends. Love hanging out with you all, too.
Hmm.
So everyone just kind of thought, you know, like, volatile, emotional teenage girl.
Yeah.
Running away. And so that's why they wouldn't issue an Amber Alert.
Oh.
Yeah. There were rumors that maybe Skylar had OD'd at a party.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Because nobody really knew what to think. She was missing for a long time.
Yeah.
And people even on social media were accusing Sheila and Rachel of being murderers.
Whoa.
And so this kind of caused them to withdraw even more and isolate with each other.
Mm-hmm.
And it was kind of starting to get to them. So on December 28th, 2012, so it's been like 6 months, right? July, December. Yeah, it's been like 6 months of Rachel being, or I'm sorry, of Skylar being missing. Rachel's mother called 911 because they couldn't control her emotional outbursts. She's being violent with her family members. And when she saw, like, when she heard 911 was on the phone, she was, like, sobbing, crying, and picked up the phone and told her, told them, like, to come get her.
What?
Yeah. So they came to pick her up and they were like, okay, she's cracking. Like, she's going to be the one to confess. She particularly had become extremely withdrawn since all this happened. Sheila, though, like, didn't have a care in the world. She was still, like, very outgoing and, like, not giving any indication that anything was wrong.
Jeez.
Also, I want to add that the detectives were trying to, like, get information from them by catfishing as a boy from, like, a local college.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
How would you even get that kind of information from flirting?
You know, I don't... They just kind of thought...
Tell me your deepest, darkest secret. Like, some fucking college dick is gonna ask you that.
They just kind of thought that, like, given enough time, the girls are, like, so vain that they're gonna start bragging about it.
I mean, bold to assume, I guess.
So, but anyways, that was, like, their thinking. So, Rachel admitted that they had planned Skylar's murder a month in advance.
Oh, my God.
After agreeing in science class one day, maybe we should just kill her.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Might I also add that Rachel and Sheila were not just getting closer as friends.
Oop.
They were in a relationship.
Ooh, gay! Gay!
They were gay! Gay!
Coming queer!
Two girls sitting in a hot tub 5 feet apart. Oh, wait, they're getting closer. When on the day that they went to go kill her, Rachel brought a shovel from her dad's house, and Sheila brought two knives from her mom's kitchen.
Jesus.
And then they also brought cleaning supplies and changes of clothes. So this was, like, thoroughly planned out.
Very premeditated.
Yeah. They picked her up and took her to the woods on, like, the Pennsylvania side across the border.
Oh, my God.
Which is apparently where they would go to, like, smoke weed and hang out because wasn't very far. And while they were out there, they counted to three and stabbed her.
Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm. Apparently, she tried to run, but they stabbed her in the knee.
Ugh.
And she couldn't go anywhere. And that she just kept repeating, why?
Oh, my God.
When police asked Rachel, you know, why?
Yeah.
Why did you kill Skylar? She told them, we didn't like her. Yeah, let that one sink in.
That's not a reason to kill someone. Just stop hanging out with her.
Yeah. Right?
Oh my God.
Fight about it on Twitter.
Literally. And then... move on when you, what are they, in high school?
Yeah, when they're sophomores in high school.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. In January of 2013, Rachel tried to lead the police to her body, but with the snow, they couldn't find her.
Oh my God.
Also, I just want to say, like, it's kind of insane that for two young girls, they were able to hide a body for 6 months.
Yeah.
And probably could have continued hiding it.
Yeah. They could have fully gone away with it, probably.
Yeah, they might have. No body, no crime. So then a week later, police went back and were able to find the body. They went ahead. They had already charged Rachel by her confession before they even found the body. So Rachel was in jail, and then when police matched Skylar's DNA to blood splatter in Sheila's trunk, they arrested her too on May 1st, 2013, in the parking lot of a Cracker Barrel.
Oh no.
If that isn't the most West Virginia thing you've ever heard.
Not the Cracker Barrel, honey.
Mm-hmm.
This is a sacred place.
We don't do murders here.
We don't do murders at the Cracker Barrel, y'all.
Maybe in the gift shop, though.
Not inside the restaurant.
Since the police knew that Sheila was clearly the mastermind behind this, she was charged with first-degree murder.
Good.
She pleaded guilty in January of 2014 and was sentenced to life in prison with the possibility of parole after 15 years.
What?
Yeah. I feel like she shouldn't have gotten possibility of parole. No. This is, like, too premeditated and planned out and, like, cold.
And the motive is for literally fucking nothing.
Yeah. That's, like, not emotional teenage. Like, that's, there's something wrong with you.
Yeah.
And then
you need to go to therapy.
Yeah. For Rachel's confession, she received 30 years with a second degree murder conviction.
So she got more time for...
Well, I mean, just because it says possibility of parole doesn't mean they're going to grant parole.
I guess.
So technically, hers does have like an end date as opposed to the other one being life.
That's true, I guess.
And while, you know, they got their justice, which, you know, could be worse.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I saw their mugshots and, like, pictures of them in jail, and they look, like, pretty and having a good time and, like, made up and, like, not suffering.
Oh.
And that feels not okay.
Yeah.
It feels like they should be having a worse time in prison.
Yeah.
But West Virginia did end up passing Schuyler's Law, which issues Amber Alerts for all missing children, even those presumed to be runaways.
Oh, well, that's good.
Yeah, even though it technically wouldn't have helped, because by the time Schuyler's parents knew she was missing, she would have already been deceased.
Yeah.
But it is a good sentiment anyways, and probably helps a lot of children.
Yeah.
So, and also, I'm sure, like, the children most likely to be considered runaways, like, don't have enough support anyways.
Yeah.
So, or resources. So, it's good that people get to hear about them.
True. Very true. Whoa. That was crazy.
I know. I can't believe that, like, I know people say teenage girls are bad, but, like, that was next level bad.
Yeah. I wonder, like, I wonder what she did to make them, like, not like her. Because why were they all friends in the first place?
Well, I think it was because they started dating. And they just, like, wanted to spend time with each other. And not with, like, the third wheel.
Yeah.
I don't know that she knew, though.
Yeah. Maybe they were too scared to tell her.
Could have been.
Were they, like, out? Do you know?
I doubt it because it's West Virginia.
Yeah, true.
And the girl was Catholic.
Maybe she was starting to realize that they might, or maybe she was like throwing out allegations. Like, y'all must be fucking gay.
Yeah, could be. That's a powerful motive.
Damn. That's insane. Teenage girls are terrifying.
Agreed.
I'm so glad I never was one.
I was actually a teenage drama queen, like Lindsay Lohan.
I've been a drama queen my whole life. Yeah. I think that's why Bean's such a drama queen.
She gets it from her parent.
Yeah, she gets it from me for sure. Because, like, Popcorn is a shithead, but Popcorn can be, like, next to her, and she'll be, like, freaking out. And I'm like, dude, relax. Like, it is not that big of a deal. But she got it from somebody, so.
True.
Well, cool. I don't know. Let's say, do you want to get into some witchy stuff? We're moving right along. We're just easing through this. Thanks, weed.
Thanks. Is this what it's like to, like, not have ADHD? You just, like, get stuff done.
I can't even imagine what that's like, actually.
Yeah, it must be weird. Anyways, in honor of, like, our birthdays, we wanted to do some good luck spells.
Yay.
And personally, I love a good spell jar.
Good, yes.
You can get a box of little glass jars with corks really cheap.
Yeah, I got some from the dollar store the other day.
Yeah. And a lot of herbs and stuff you can find in the, like, grocery store, the dollar store. So you can make one of these for, like, really cheap, which is good when you want your good luck to send you some money. You don't want to be wasting all of it to make the spell.
No.
That's the whole point. Yeah. When I do a spell jar, I always like to cleanse it first. So I'll put a little, like, incense in there, and it always looks cool when it's, like, swirling around.
Mm-hmm.
Personally, for a base, I like to do rice, because rice represents abundance and, like, feeding your family and, like, having enough.
Cute.
Yeah. Can do some a bay leaf with your intentions.
Always good.
Asking for good luck, getting that money being sent your way. Basil for prosperity and success.
Love.
Sorry, y'all. My cat loves her tunnel. Are you good? Okay. Anyways. A cinnamon stick, nutmeg, some salt, and then sealing the jar with the wax from a green candle.
Nice.
And when you, like, seal these with wax, I think it's important to remember that when wax heats up, it, like, gets soft.
Mm-hmm.
So I like to top it off usually with, like, super glue or something clear so that it doesn't spill and I can, like, keep it in places that might get warm. Or, like, because if you wear it as, like, a necklace or something, it will absolutely, like, melt against your boob and then, like, fall off.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Whoa. Okay. Well, mine is like, good luck and also just, like, general, like, good vibes kind of thing.
Cool.
I did it for myself the other day. I just felt like we needed a boost. So
treat yourself.
Yeah, so I did it, and it feels like it's doing pretty good. So what I did was I just got a little jar with a cork, and I put some basil and turmeric and salt. I think that was it. So I did basil, turmeric, salt, and bay leaf. That's what it was. So I did those four things, and I took a little piece of paper. I didn't have, like, whole bay leaves, so I couldn't do it with that. It would have been much better to do it with that, but I didn't have it. I had to work with what I had. So I took a little piece of paper. I wrote down the names of the people I was intending to use it for, which was myself and my partner, and I just put down, like, general wellness, health, wealth.
Yeah,
good luck, good energy. And I just wrote down, like, an incantation of, like, this will happen. This is going to happen for us. So I just basically put that there. I made up my own little sigils, just kind of, like, drew what felt, I guess, like, drawing to me. So I just put those on there. I folded it up real nice. I put it inside the jar. And then I put a really tiny clear quartz, because the jar I had was really small.
Cute.
I put a clear quartz in it, and then I sealed it with a white candle.
Nice.
So,
you know, I don't personally, like, work with sigils, really. So I would, like, love to see you do some, because I think that's super cool.
I don't work with sigils a ton.
Oh!
I don't work with sigils a ton. I just kind of recently started getting into them. I don't really know a lot of common sigils, but I know kind of, like, general shapes of stuff. So I just kind of, like, doodle what feels good. And some of them might be nonsense. Some of them might not do anything. But, you know.
Whatever.
It's all about the intent.
Exactly. If you think it does something, it does something.
Exactly. Boom.
Done. Well, so cool. Yeah. Hope it brings you, like, tons of good vibes and shit.
Hopefully it brings you lots of good stuff.
Stop! Get down!
Hey!
Quit it! Salem! Oh my
you
god.
Brat.
Why are you being so awful? You're just being the worst right now.
I think that's all the stuff we have for you today.
Yeah, the party girls gotta rest. We've got a party to plan.
And we need beauty sleep.
Yeah, abso-fucking-lutely.
And I have to work tomorrow.
I have to work tomorrow, too.
Well,
isn't it enough for us to just be cute and talk about true crime?
We do so much.
We really do.
Well, make sure you
enjoy
Luna going through the tunnel right now. The tunnel.
That's Salem.
Oh, Salem.
Luna's the fat one.
Yeah, Luna's not going through that. if you, yeah, make sure, sorry, hold on. My brain is short circuiting.
Cannot compute.
If you liked what you heard today, make sure to share us with anyone and everyone that you know and give us a good rating.
For our birthdays.
Please. Share with everybody so that we can get to 200 listens for our birthdays.
That would be so cool.
That would be super slay if you guys did that. We'll do a spell for all of you if you do that.
Oh, yeah.
But if you have any questions, comments, corrections, or concerns, you can email us at greenwichcottagepod@gmail.com. If you want to see some of the stuff that we talked about today, or some sneak peeks at episodes, or just silly fun photos sometimes, you could follow our Instagram at GWC Podcast.
There will definitely be a photo of my cat in a little hat soon.
Yes, and I'll post mine too.
Yes.
Yeah.
FYI, Walgreens has little cat hats right now. They're so cute. I bought a pumpkin, a witch hat, and a ghost.
Cute. I love that.
So expect some Halloween Christmas cards.
Yay. I think that's everything, though.
So I guess just light up.
And look out.
And have a good night.
Love you.
Bye.
Bye, besties.